The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Light of the world. Hey, this is Jeremiah from Remnant Church. Thanks for listening to us online. You know, we want you to be encouraged and filled with hope through your experience as you listen in. This life can be complicated, even confusing, but it's our hope that you catch a glimpse of God's unconditional love for you and His purpose for your life. Thanks for listening in.
I'm going to be reading out of Isaiah 35:4, Jehovah Hemul. You're all probably wondering, what the heck is Frank coming up with now? Last time was Macadashkam, not Macadamium Nut. And it's important to know these names. I didn't know how important till Jerry and Jeremiah brought this up. I've been doing my homework. Man, there's so many cool names God has. And this one really got my attention. I've prayed all week about it. It was a tough one for me to unfold on what the word Hemul means, and we're going to find out in a minute. I'm going to let you soak in it a little bit. So I'll be reading out of Isaiah 35, verse 4. We're going to talk about Jehovah Hemul, and it reads like this, Isaiah 35, 4. Say to those with an anxious heart, take courage, fear not, behold, your God will come with vengeance. The recompense of God will come, but He will save you. Amen? Let's pray. God, we thank You for this great morning. We thank You for Remnant Church, God. We thank You for the great things You're doing in these lives, Lord. We are seeing many new families, many new faces. God, continue to bring them, Lord. Draw them so we can tell them about Jesus. So lives can be healed and restored. Holy Spirit, come and fill this room and fill our hearts. And Father, we pray for my sister Mary right now. I promised her I would pray for her. So we pray for a miracle for my sister, that this blood clot behind her brain would be gone, Lord, and she would walk out of there 110% here soon and promptly, God. We pray for wisdom for the physicians and blessings for Mary and my brother-in-law, her husband, Jim Carrington. Bless them. Bring them home soon, God. And Father, I pray for anyone in this room that also has health issues or knows someone that has health issues that's not here. We pray for healing touch for them too, God. Lord, just bless us this morning with Your presence and speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Jehovah Hemul. Hemul means recompense. That's what it means, to recompense. Simply said, payback. Payback time. But I'm prayerfully speaking to a crowd that believes in God and have faith in God, no matter the outcome and no matter what He has to do in our lives. But you need to trust Him. You need to have courage, as we just read. You need to have your faith growing every day. You don't become a Christian and then you know verses and now you're there. No. It's like a tree that continually grows. Your faith needs to be growing every day, branching out, cutting off the bad branches, and growing good fruit. Amen? So hopefully your faith is getting strong, and you're growing in the things of God. Amen? Which reminds me of a little joke I would like to share this morning about a nun that worked for a healthcare department through the week. That was her job. She loved helping people at home. So she's in the hustle and bustle of her day, driving here, driving there. She runs out of gas. So she pulls over, and just a few blocks down, she saw a gas station. So she walks to the gas station and asks the clerk there, can I borrow a gas can? I'm going to buy some gas. I'm going to fill up my car and bring it back and fill it up. The attendant guy goes, oh, sorry, ma'am. I just lent out my last can. He'll be a little bit if you want to wait. No, she goes, I'm in a hurry. I got to get to my next person I got to give health care to. I'll be right back. Walks back to her car, and she's looking through all her stuff, and she can't find anything. So being a nun and being in the healthcare business, she finds a bedpan. So there she goes back with a bedpan, fills it up with gas, walks back to her car and starts filling it up. And as she's filling it up, two men walk by, and one man looks at the other and leans over and says, man, I call that faith. Hope that works. I needed to share that one with you. You know, we read a very powerful text right now on how God says, say to those anxious hearts. I want to just start there real quick. It says, say to those anxious hearts. Just right there alone, say. God is saying, preach to the people. God is saying, tell people. Speak up. Tell them what I have told you. Through scripture, and even up till today, God has raised up leaders to speak and tell people about God and what he's done through people and through self and through other lives. He says, say to the people. And nowadays, we just don't want to hear too much about God. And a lot of times, we're too busy doing our own things. And right at the beginning, God says, say to those people. And he was using this prophet Isaiah to tell the people of their time what God was seeing. He was seeing anxious hearts. But he says, take courage. He's saying, take courage. In other words, don't be afraid. Look at my sister, like I said earlier, from one second to another, now she's in a hospital. And I firmly believe God's working in her heart, literally, to change some things in her life that she knows need correcting. And she knows that, and she's working on it. And on top of that, my brother-in-law, that I know of, hardly ever spoke about God, because we hang out at their house sometimes after church. She'll cook lunch for me, so we'll head over there. And he hardly speaks about God. I don't think he reads the Bible that much. Now he's reading more. See, God will bring situations sometimes in your lives because he has to. You know, we make choices and there's a recompense for it. Amen? And as we read these tough words, God says, I'm coming back with vengeance. Vengeance is mine, God says. No, it's not that kind of vengeance. See, today many people believe that God's going to come back and just strike everyone down, burn them all up. Just because they didn't know God or believe in God or obey his scripture. That's how a lot of people see God, that he's going to come back and take his revenge and pay the people back for all their evil deeds. And this is a day to be dreaded. It says it right here, I'm coming. I'm coming with my recompense and I'm coming with vengeance. God's coming back, folks. We need to be ready. Because he's going to come back with vengeance and he is going to pay back. He will recompense. And this is a day to be dreaded, very much dreaded, for the wicked. This is a day that needs to be dreaded for those that don't believe. It's a joyful day for us. We've been longing for, we should be longing for the return of our Savior, our Messiah, our God. Many people today aren't too excited about it. Too anxious and worried. Their heart is caving in. Walling up, worrying, anger. God is coming back. I always tell my wife, I pray God finds me serving him. I pray he shows up maybe doing worship, maybe meeting with one of you or texting scriptures with one of you. And my prayer is, God, find me serving you, please. I want him to find me serving him. That's where our hearts should be. So God's going to come back and pay the wicked. And still people today, many people, even Christians, take it so flippantly and loosely, don't even care. Living their lives how they want to. And I need to stop right here and interject and say this from the bottom of my heart. I speak to a lot of you in this circle, in the body of Christ of Remnant. And I know some of you personally. And I don't do Facebook and I don't do none of that internet stuff. But words come to me. People bring me questions and views and thoughts. Frank, this and this and this. I have to tell you this, folks. Be careful what you're throwing out for yourselves on the screens. People read them. What are you portraying on the screen? What are you showing the world to see? It's not good. Some of it's not good. Shame on some of you. I've seen some of the pictures. They're not cool. It's not of God. And a lot of times, not only does it not honor God, it doesn't honor your wife or your girlfriend or your family. You're going to put up pictures on Facebook, put them pictures of the church that you're having a Bible study or talking with someone. It's not my business, but I'll tell you, it's God's business. I have a zealous sermon this morning, and I thank God I don't use none of that, and that's why. I've told my wife, I don't want to be known. I want to be known here and in real life. You want to get a one-on-one, I'm here. You want to see a picture of me? Here I am. I don't want to show you anything else but Jesus. If you ever see pictures of me on Facebook or whatever, I can put them up. There's probably one of my daughters or someone else. But you're never going to see nothing that's outside of God. I don't want it to be there. Because we stain Jesus. We stain our walk with Christ. And then a lot of Christians start saying, well, it's okay to do that then. We can do that too. You know, remember so-and-so? We saw him on Facebook. We can do this too. You start infecting others' attitudes. We have people in leadership position and their attitudes are so sad. Not at the level of where God would want them. Timothy talks about it. I'm taking a turn here in my sermon, but I need to say this. Paul talks about it to Timothy. If you're going to be in any kind of leadership in ministry, I don't want to scare you. I want to encourage you to get into leadership positions, to serve the body of Christ and to serve the church you're a part of. But be a good leader. Don't be a leader in acting somewhere, having a different, whole different attitude somewhere else. Don't be talking about people. Don't be verbalizing people when they're not there. Come to that person individually and tell them the issue you have. Leadership is not lightly in God's eyes. He takes it very serious. And Timothy, it says it. You need to be a good leader of your home first. It starts in your house. Shame on me if I'm not doing what I say up here. And again, my wife's my witness, acting like the godly man I should be at home. And then I come up here and preach to you. Shame on me if I'm not applying what I'm preaching. And that's why I protect it so much, because I want to come up here and let God just speak powerfully to your heart and convict and transform. But yet there's still a lot of people with stuffed up ears. They really don't care. They'll still leave those doors the same, not caring about how God and what God thinks about being in leadership at any level of ministry. He needs you to be right and give it your best, not having a whole nother lifestyle when you leave this building. Be yourself all the time. And some of us can have a pretty rotten heart. And when you do that, you infect those around you. You hurt the body of Christ. And God's going to pay all that back. See, the definition to recompense is this: to make amends. I think I skipped the scripture. Isaiah 55, 6 says this. This is for the believer, those that are accepting God's recompense. Isaiah 55, 6 says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call him while he is near. A lot of people aren't calling on God. A lot of people aren't calling on God. We soak up and sob up in our issues and situations. We need to call on God while he's still there. Jeremiah, I think a couple of Friday, Easter Friday night sermons, it's never left my mind what he said. I love what he said, because Jeremiah talked about darkness that Good Friday he preached, I think a year or two ago. God has never left our presence. When sin came into the world, he spoke light, sin came in. God's still here. But folks, there's going to be a day God's not going to be here no more. It's going to get dark. It's going to get uglier. God hasn't left us. But you better dread the day, for those that don't believe or are following Jesus, when he does leave and separates. I have never forgot that, Jeremiah. That was awesome to me. It just spoke volumes. So I want to take the opportunity of every minute of my life to give it to God. Because I know what's coming. And all I try to do most of my time is minister to my family. Go hang out with them. Go visit with them. And just show them Jesus. We need to be working on that. So the definition to recompense is to make amends to someone for loss or harm suffered. To compensate. Recompense is strongly related to justice or what is right or fair. Merely getting what you deserve, whether bad for your wrong actions or good for righteousness. That's what that means. So how will God deal with this recompense? You ask. I heard you. I heard you on your lip. I heard you. What does that mean? How will God's recompense work? Look at James 2:13. Clearly said. This is how God's recompense will work. James 2:13. There will be no mercy for those who have not shown mercy to others. But if you have been merciful, God will be merciful when he judges you. There it is. That's a big key point in your life. Teenagers, how are you treating your friends? Are you helping each other follow Jesus? Or someone you pulling you down away from Jesus? Adults, parents, how are you acting as adults and parents? How are you averaging from a 1 to 10 as an adult in Christ? Don't answer that, please. Rhetorical question. We're going to be accountable for all this. We need to act our age. And we need to be responsible to Jesus, period. It's right there. He will show no mercy to those that show no mercy. Have you shown mercy this week to someone? Or you just kicked them to the curb? Said, sorry, buddy. This is me time. It's all about me. Jesus never thought that way. Never. He always was concerned about the other person first. Nothing wrong with concerning yourself. But you come second. You come second. People in your life should come first. That's how recompense will work. And I love this. God will even forgive the most wicked person and give them recompense. And give them good things. Wait a minute, Frank. What do you mean? My neighbor, he's rude and mean. He does all these bad things. He cusses and he smokes and he drinks. Yeah, God will forgive him too. But what are you showing him? Look at the scripture, Isaiah 55:7. It says this. Let wicked people abandon their ways. Let evil people abandon their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will show compassion to them. Let them return to our God, because he what? He will freely forgive them. See, God doesn't stand there and say, oh, you want to come back? Oh, no, you know what? I remember what you did last week. Oh, I'm so sorry. You even used my name in a curse sentence. That's not good. You cannot be a part of me. God's willing to forgive all that. What are we? What's your week been like? Has it been close to this? Been merciful? Because recompense is coming. And Jehovah Hemul is bringing it. And he ain't holding anything back. Amen? You still love me? I still love you guys. I see a lot of faces like this. Frank's mad today. No, I'm not. It's passion. It's truth. It's what's been in my heart. Since I was asked by my colleague pastors here to talk about God's names, this is what comes out. This is a good one here that we need to work on. Folks, I pray for all of you. I prayed for all of you this week. You know how I pray that? I say, God, whoever you bring on Sunday, speak to them. You bring them. I don't know who will be there. And you're here. So God is speaking to you. You are prayed for by these pastors. We're a loving church. We want people to know the truth. We don't want to get up here and sugarcoat stuff for you and always have happy things. Yes, Jesus is good and he's going to bless you. We need to know the truth. But the truth hurts. But also the truth sets you free. It sets you free. You don't have to carry it around no more because you already confessed it. Amen? God's arms of love are always open to everyone. Look at 1 Timothy 2:4. 1 Timothy 2:4. He wants all people to be saved and to learn what? To learn what? To learn what? To learn what? The truth. That's what set people's lives free. Folks, our homes, our houses, our families sometimes are in shambles because we're not following the truth and not applying what God's word says. Oh, so-and-so is attacking me at my house. Or so-and-so doesn't listen to me. Well, pray and still show them love. God's going to forgive us when he comes back. Again, he's not going to say, you know what, brother? Yeah, you were pretty good, but I remember yesterday. He's not going to do that. We should be the same. It starts in your house. And I need to remind some of you leaders, and some of you leaders that will hear this later on the radio or via podcast, work on your leadership, read scripture, read 1st and 2nd Timothy on what it is to be a leader. He must be a good leader of his home. That's the first thing it says, your home. It starts in your house, because a lot of people walk in here from their homes in shambles and smiling with cracked faces. Just be real and let the truth heal you. Let Jesus come in and work. He wants everyone to be saved. Man, I was lost. I was a wretched sinner. I lived a very dark lifestyle. You need to know this. You have no idea where God reached in. I mean, you think my sleeves rolled up. God's sleeves rolled. He rolled it up all the way up here and pulled me out of that mud. I was gone, man. Gone. And I thought I was okay. Handy, dandy, fandy. Fandy, well, that's a weird one. Write that one down. It's a word, babe. Fandy. I thought I was okay. That's what everybody does. Yeah, let's go get drunk. Let's go take pictures and do whatever I like. Hurt people, curse them out, curse the neighbor. That's not of God. Man, when he changed my life, it's opened my eyes to the truth. And now that I'm reading, he's coming back? Uh-oh. Honey, I'm sorry. And I better start working here. It starts right here between me and my wife at the house. I want God to see me pleasing her, because it pleases him. When you please God, he's happy. But when you're not pleasing to people, he's not too happy. And he's going to bring recompense. Hemul is coming. I want you to remember this name all week. Hemul. Hemul is coming. Sounds tough. Hemul. I want you to scare you. Now I want to scare you. Hemul. Hemul is coming. It's like those movies. Next week coming. Hemul. Deep from a dark jungle. Jehovah Hemul is coming. But he's coming with open arms, arms of love, to change people's lives. A lot of people don't want to hear it. And if the wicked aren't willing to receive God's offer, they'll get their own. Look what it says in 2 Thessalonians 2:10. These are for those that are just rejecting God or think they're okay. He will use everything that God disapproves of to deceive those who are dying, those who refuse to love the truth that would save them. This whole text here, Paul is talking about how Satan and the enemies of the dark forces are coming to deceive us, and how this world, young people, with all this technology, the young people are so busy with these screens and just connecting with people. Nothing wrong if you're connecting and talking about God. Good. Give God more time in that area. But today, everywhere you look, people are like this, man. I'm like this a lot at work. I'm getting on the forklift. Yeah, half of it's my job. But guess what? The other half is some of you texting me questions, biblical guidance, and I'm answering. A lot of times, if it's something I know doesn't concern God, I just don't answer it. I'll get back to it later, because I know some of you, how you work. I've got to know some of you personally, and I can call you after work when I'm home. I can call you more relaxed and talk. I have a hard time talking at work because of my position, but you can text me anything and I will answer you. And if I don't, I'll get back to you after work. I promise you that. This is my passion, my drive to teach Jesus Christ. And that's what keeps me going. And we need to be the same, all of us, of one accord, showing Christ to everyone. But we must be willing, a willing vessel. Because many are willing to dive into other things so quickly. Don't even think about Jesus. Don't even care about what the Bible says. And don't even care about the sermons you've heard. We're getting some good word here, folks. Some good teachings. But the key thing is to take it and apply it. I love what Jerry said once. I'm going to counsel with you once. You don't get this time. It's on you. That's true. We've already told you. God's reminding you through us again and again. All teachings, all this Bible is prophetic word, the coming of Christ. Old Testament, prophetic word. New Testament, the coming of Christ. And he came. And now he's coming back. Simple as that. Live for Jesus. Render your life to him. That's it. People think it's hard, that the Bible's hard. Jesus said a little kid can understand it. It's that we're not putting our heart in it. We're not sitting down solidly for 5 minutes and give all your concentration to what you're reading. And a lot of you say, Frank, I still don't get it. Well, Paul says, and God said it too in Scripture. I don't know where the text is, address is right now, but it says this clearly. What you don't understand, that I will show you too. So just read it and go live your life, and he'll show you in your life what you didn't get. Amen? How can we make it right today with God? For all the wickedness we committed, right now, how can I make it right? It's easy. I'll say it again, it's easy. It's work, but it's easy. Let's read it. How can I just make it right with God today and please him? It's easy to read it, but it's hard to apply it. A lot of people fall short right here. Let me read it to you. 1 Peter 4:8. Above all, God says, above all, love each other warmly, because love covers many sins. Many sins. So whatever wickedness you've done this week, or know someone that has, they can be forgiven. But again, church, it starts in your personal life at home. How are you treating each other? Oh, Frank, my marriage is in shambles. My kids don't listen. I can't afford the bills. I've lived them all, folks. God has drugged me through all scenarios in life, just about. Financial, marital, lying, cheating, you name it. You know the story. But until I learned to love my wife, till I learned to love my children like God wanted me to be, like till God showed me how to love people genuinely, how to be honest with people, how to be honest with my wife, how to be honest with all those around me and live like Jesus would, then things started changing in my personal life first. And then he started moving blessings and pouring things over my life and started moving me up in positions in life through jobs, through people, through churches. He'll start moving you up. But don't get confused. Let me say this. Some of you have moved up good without God. He'll do that. He'll allow that. But you're going to have a very bumpy road, and then you're all stressed out and can't control it anymore because you forgot to put Jesus in front. You forgot to put the Lord first. Because it's getting good now. We're doing good. And then, bam, we hit the wall. Oh, this is all God's fault. We always want to blame God. That school shooting they had recently. Some man went and shot up some kids. I believe it was in Oregon. I can't remember. Right now, I'm fired up. People are, right, Facebook, oh, God, where's God? It was God's fault. Hey, God's doing this. Where's God? Well, like we all know, they kicked God out of the schools. They don't want God in school. Well, God says, well, I'm right here, but I'll be right outside the fence line. But you're going to need me in there. They taking God out of the court systems. They don't even want him placard. They want to take it out of the dollars, the money. And God, we trust. No, we don't need God no more. We got it. We're the United States. Nothing can affect us. We're the most broke country in the world. One of them. But they're not going to tell you that. You're never going to see on the news, yes, Jesus saved me. I'm from Remnant Church. You'll never see the praisings and blessings of God on the news. All you see is the bad stuff. And all these rich people they show you that are getting richer. Most of those rich people are just so empty inside. Most of them commit suicide, sad to say, or they become drunks and drug addicts and end up in rehabs. Actors, Hollywood looks so pretty. It's all a lie. Follow Jesus. He'll open roads for you. He'll bless you how he wants to. But you need to love people. If you have any roots of bitterness or anything in your heart, man, you're going to struggle. My whole family, you know the story, kicked me to the curb when I became a Christian 16 years ago. And it took 10 years for some of them to start coming here. And another maybe 12 years. Hey, come to our house. We're going to hang out. We're going to have a party. By the way, Frank, can we drink beer? I go, I don't know. It's your house. I brought God. God let me bring his presence into my secular family. And they respect God, not me. They respect God. They're convicted by God. Because God's in front. It doesn't affect me that I'm around people that are drinking. That's their prerogative. That's their thing. I just got to show Jesus. Jesus hung around with the tax collectors, the worst of them, and he just sat there. He showed the light of Christ. Amen. I've been to some dark events. I'm there a little bit with my bottled water, and then I'll leave. I just kind of thank you for inviting me, and I'm out. I just don't have to do what they do. Jesus saying, don't do what they do. Especially young people, be careful. There's a lot of parties out there. You guys think it's fun and they're drinking and they have the beer and their parents don't know in the house. Be careful. It's okay. Go a little while, but leave. Because you'll get sucked in, young ones. They'll pull you in. There's recompense to pay. There's recompense to pay. If you love people, it covers sins. I couldn't even count from before Christ. Oh gosh, I've done the worst. But Jesus came, changed me, and he uses me to lead other people, and he first starts wiping sins away. Did you know the Bible says that every day you wake up, he gives you a clean slate? Every day. You know why? Because we're going to fill it up again. Oh, you wake up in the morning all mad. I'm late. My coffee's not ready. The car don't start. And here comes the words. Here comes the attitude. Then someone gets in your path. You cut their head off. Shing, get out of my way. I'm forgetting about Hemul right now. I'm Hemul. We do that. We need to stop and say, you know what? No. I need to do this right. Nothing's going good this morning, but I'm going to give it my best. I'm going to slow down and just do what Jesus will want me to do. Love. Use love. Amen. God is speaking to anxious hearts, and he's coming with recompense to save. He says to the hearts, take courage. Behold what God can do. So what kind of heart do you have today? Where is your heart today? Where is your heart today? My first point is this. Do you have a running heart? Do you have a running heart? This is a heart that's always running from problems, situations, things they don't want to face or ever mention to anyone. That's a running heart. It's running away from situations that God wants to fix or heal and restore. Do you have a running heart? Some of us run because we're afraid God might control too much of our lives. Oh, you know what? This remnant stuff's good, but oh, man, they want me to do this and do that. No, we don't want you to do nothing. We want God to work in your life. Let him get in there. We're not asking you as pastors anything to do anything but to serve Jesus. And listen to what he says in his word. And confess those things out. Don't hold them. Don't run from it. We're running from situations we don't want to face. I had to just confess some things that were hard to say or do. But I've learned that as a pastor. And I've heard many pastors speak about meeting with people. And sometimes I've sat with people across the table. Hello, God bless you, let's pray. And before we talk about the situation, most of the time I'll say this. You might not like what I'm going to say. You might not even like me when we're done. But I'm going to say this in the love of Christ. I'm not going to water down what I want to share with him, what God would tell him or her. We shouldn't. Be truthful. Amen? So what kind of heart do you have? Remember Jonah when he ran from God? What happened there? It got worse. And maybe it was because he wasn't doing what God wanted him to. Look at Jonah 1. Jonah chapter 1 verse 11 and 12. The storm was getting worse. So they asked Jonah, what should we do with you to calm the sea? He told them, throw me overboard. Throw me overboard. Would you say that? Heck no. Sorry, I don't know what's going on. No, it's not me. This is how we live. No, it's not, I'm fine. No, it's not. It's probably you. You should pray. No, it's not my problem. It's your problem. It's just falling apart. Holding up your house. No, our house is fine. No, oh, get the hammer. No, we're fine, brother, really. No, we don't have to come. We're good. We don't need counseling. No, we're fine. Let's keep reading. I got very theatrical there. I like acting. And it's all for Jesus. He told them, throw me overboard, then the sea will become calm. I know that I'm responsible for this violent storm. It's right there, folks. We know we're responsible. We know Jesus can help us. But you know what most of the problem is? We want it now. Oh, you know what, God, I got a problem. Let me put it in the microwave. 5 seconds. Bing! Good, I'm good. Thanks, God. No, God does not use a microwave. Sorry. He works in our heart. And he's slow and patient, folks. You know why I like now that I've learned that he's slow and patient? Because if he gives it to you right away, you're going to forget about him. Go back to your own merry ways. And secondly, some of us need more work. It's like working out. Have you ever seen a skinny guy walk into your life? My name is Tim. I weigh 100 pounds. And tomorrow I'm going to weigh 290, all muscle. And he shows up the next day, he's all buff. Does that happen? No. It takes time. Losing weight, call it, use whatever scenario illustration you want to use in your mind right now. It takes time. And some of us need a little bit more time. Because there's some roots in our hearts that grow way deep that need to get yanked out, folks. And no one else can yank them out but you. And what's going to help you yank them out? Church, you're asking me. I could hear you. Love. Love. You start using love, the roots come out like this. I used to do maintenance and gardening, landscaping. A root, guys are pulling them. So I Googled it. How do you pull roots out the easiest way? Little roots, tall roots. You know what's the easiest way to pull a root without struggle? You grab it at the base, twist it and pull. Turn it and pull. Repentance. Turn and move. Repentance. Turn and move. It's that easy. It's like weeds, man. Just pretend you're a weed that has to come out. Do a 180 and go the other way. That looks like a lot of fun. It looks very tempting, but turn away. It's that easy. Trust me, it took me work to do that. Sometimes like, oh, maybe not this time. I turn halfway and I still get sucked in. And now I practice it and I apply it. We need to work at it. We need to work at it. Love. Love will cover it. And Jonah knew it was him. He said it right there. This is all my fault. Just throw me overboard. Some of us need to be thrown overboard. Amen. I know I had to be thrown overboard a lot of times. Because I thought I was okay. Trying to hold up my life. Trying to hold up my bills and my marriage. And I said, you know what, God? I'm done. This is all you. I've been trying to get a new job, trying to leave my job, and just recently I told my wife, I'm done. I put in apps. They've given me some interviews here and there. They look good, but nothing yet. And I said, you know what, God? If you want me still here working with these sailors, working 1,000 hours a week, I'll be here. I'm going to show the love of Christ. I'm not going to let the enemy come and tell me, Frank, just don't do that order. Act like you forgot it. Show up late. Take our lunch instead of 30. Who cares? I hear that voice. Trust me. We're all humans here. We're all pastors. We're no different. We hear stuff. The enemy gets in and says, hey, don't do that. Who cares? No one's going to know. Yes, we know who's going to know. Like Jeremiah spoke last week, El Roi will see. He sees everything. Amen? It's love. We need to know we're the problem. The second type of heart, not only is there people with running hearts, there's a hard heart. There's a hard heart. This heart is rebellious, disobedient heart, bent on going against what God says. That's a hard heart. Some of us can get a hard heart. Remember Pharaoh? No, I will not let the people go. Moses goes, come on. No, I will not let the people go. Guess who hardened his heart? Pharaoh did? No, God hardened his heart. Oh, you want to be a mean leader? I'll let you be a mean leader. God will allow things in our lives if you want it. Oh, my marriage will never change. Oh, I'll never get the job. Oh, so-and-so will never change. Because you're claiming it. Just tell God, God, I know you're going to do this. Thank you, Jesus. That's it. Positive instead of negative. Don't give the enemy a foothold. Yeah, sometimes we're treated not nice. But we need to show love because our heart will get hard. And then sometimes things won't go our way. We get an attitude. Yeah, I'm all right. Yeah, really. We get an attitude. Some of you do that. Yeah, we can go, I guess. Yeah, whatever. And your hearts, you'll get hard. And it affects others. That's why I opened up with leadership. If your heart has issues and it's hardening, maybe you shouldn't be leading right now. Go to another brother, sister in Christ and get counseling and start hanging out with people that do serve. We invite you to come set up with us 8:30 if you want to be here. Just check it out. You want to get into leadership, you need to serve. And see where you fit, where God could use you. You all have a gift or a talent that Remnant can use. We need teachers, helpers to alternate or help the teachers with their classes, with the kids. We need help with setup and other ministries, whatever's out there. Go to Bible studies. Open one in your home. You need material. Talk to the pastors. Talk to us. We'll give you stuff you can go by week. I love looking for stuff and putting little papers together and filling the blanks. I do that for my Bible study. I don't know if they like it. Oh, here comes with the papers again. Does everybody have a pen? Yes. Are you ready for the study? Yes. No, they're not that way. They're a loving crowd. But get plugged in, man. Find out where God wants you. Learn to love the way God would want you to. Let that hard heart soften, because God will harden it. God will keep you hard. And there's sometimes, guys, we have past issues and that hard heart we keep bringing up. Remember when you did that? I'm not going to let you forget this one ever. I'm always going to bring it up. That's not good. That heart's like a brick, man. I know God is speaking to somebody here this morning, because I had that heart, and he uses us to share our confessions to others, and then God speaks. He punches you right in the heart. Come on, I'm right here. Frank's telling you through my voice, soften your heart. Let that past go. Let that past go. I want to heal you. But we harden up. We harden up. And he'll keep knocking. He's going to keep knocking until he comes back. And you're still going to be right there. Hi, God, I'm ready. And then God's going to probably be, remember. He's going to judge us. We got to be careful with the hard hearts. Look what Ephesians 4:18 says. They can't understand because they are in the dark. They're excluded from the life that God approves of because of their ignorance and stubbornness. It's right there. If you're having a hard heart, you're being ignorant. And I'm not saying it. It says it right there in the Bible. And you're being stubborn. God wants to soften your Pharaoh hard heart so you can learn to love first. And they get along in life a little easier. Not perfect, but easier. Because let me tell you, folks, like my sister, things will come in a second. Emergencies will come. Tough situations will just pop up. And there you are with a hard heart. And then you're madder at God. You know what, God, forget you. I'm not stopped going to Remnant. I don't need this. I'm out of here. That's because he found you with a hard heart. Look at Pharaoh. He kept telling the people, no, no, no. Finally, he saw all that God can do. He said, please leave. And if you want to take some Egyptians, take them. You want to take some of our gold, our furniture, take it. He gave them everything. And guess this, what the last thing Pharaoh does is Moses is leaving with everybody. Pharaoh goes, hey, Moses, come here real quick, Moses comes back. You know what Pharaoh told him? Hard heart. Pray for me to your God. Pray for me to your God. A hard heart. God can do that. If you know someone with a hard heart, God can change it. But you need to just, those situations are going to keep hitting and hitting. The storms of life. But if you're serving and accepting them in love and trusting God, he's doing great things for the future. And most importantly, when he returns, how will he find you? With a running heart or a hard heart? How about a broken heart? I know in this room, we've all had our hearts broken at one time. We've all had our hearts broken at one time. A failed relationship, a loss of loved one, a lost job, or children going off track and living how they want to. Whatever the cause, the pain was enormous. I know. I've lost loved ones. I've seen teenagers die before me that I pulled out that drowned. I've seen many people stabbed, shot. I've seen many harsh things that God allowed me to see, to learn from them and to not do those things and learn to love people instead of hurt people, instead of I'd rather encourage people that discourage them. I'd rather infect them with Jesus than infect them with the flesh. Amen? That's a broken heart. And when you're hurt like that, nothing can change it. Sometimes we're still carrying stuff. I remember Martha, my prior wife. Great woman. Don't get me wrong. I loved her dearly, and my wife understands that. But we talk about her still. Her name comes up. Nothing wrong. She was a part of my life. She always will be till Jesus comes back. Her testimony lives on. I don't have to walk around and once in a while, I don't need my wife to say, oh, what's wrong? I'm thinking of Martha. I'm married again. She's with Jesus, man. She's in a better place than I am. She already forgot me. In heaven, when you get there, Revelation 22 says, all things will be made new. I'm not going to know her till I get up there. We're going to see each other. But right now is where it counts, folks. Is your heart broken? Oh, the world has answers. I found these on the internet for broken hearts. Here we go. I think I put them up there. Here we go. Broken hearts. This is the world's advice. First, number one, they'll give you psychotherapy and meds. Woohoo! That'll heal my broken heart. Whoa, I feel good, dog. Thanks for the bills. Great words, whatever that meant. Psychotherapy and meds. Two, antidepressants. Antidepressants. When my prior wife was announced with cancer, that's the first thing they gave her, a jar this big with antidepressant pills. When they put them on the counter and we're sitting there, the doctor signed it, my wife pushes it back. She goes, the doctor goes, what's wrong? She goes, I don't need those. I have Jesus. That's what she said. If she was here, she'd tell you in Spanish because she didn't know English. I got Jesus. I was like sitting there. Wow. I mean, if anything, my faith grew so much watching someone fight cancer and go with Jesus. It made my faith grow. And now I've learned something new. Guess where I'm going to use it? With my new wife. Okay, I did all these mistakes here and I did some of these things wrong. Now I got a shot at it again. God always gives you another chance. The third one is, this is a good one. Write an angry letter, then tear it. You'll feel better. Ooh, you scum, you little. Rip, rip, rip. Oh, I feel so much better. My heart just, oh, I feel so free. Oh, gosh. I needed that. Thanks. Oh, that pen just smoothly wrote. I found this on the internet. Honest truth. Number four. Ladies, shopping spree. You go on a shopping spree. Ooh, my heart hurts. I'm going to go shopping. Get everything. You're not even looking at the prices of the clothes. It's there. Take it for what it's worth. Number five. Getting a makeover. What? That's all external. Your heart's still broken. Oh, I feel so good on the outside. The inside still hurts, but I look good. All cracked in the inside. Number six, and the last one, secular counselor. You go to these people that are very well taught secularly and have nothing to tell you about God. They'll give you their view on the worldly side. Yeah, go home. Every night, get some warm water, put some lemon, a little bit of salt. Do that for about 2 weeks. Walk the dog on Tuesdays. You'll be great. I don't mean to knock them, but they don't talk about Jesus. That's what they tell you. And think of all these I just read. They're all feelings. They're all about feelings and nothing to do with God. It's all about feelings. Jesus says, I didn't put it in my notes, but in Luke 4:18, he said, I came to heal the brokenhearted. Jesus came and said it. I came to heal the brokenhearted. The brokenhearted. The word brokenhearted is pronounced aphesis, aphesis, which means to deliver, to pardon, or let go or release of something in your heart. That's the Greek word Jesus used. To heal the brokenhearted, to heal the oppressed, suppressed, whatever word your Bible says, it means he's going to come release you of that heart issue you had. I think one of the last times I spoke, I have three little daughters. When they were young, two weren't mine, one was. I'm going to try to go fast. The one, when she would show up, my biological daughter would forget the other two that I was raising with my wife at the time, and I would forget them and just give my daughter the attention. I was wrong. God showed me, and when I prayed, he released me. He pulled that out of my heart, and I learned to love all three of them the same. But I was fighting it. I was fighting God, and God just pulled that root out of my heart because he knew I wanted to love the other two like my own daughter, and it was going to take that prayer time and the tugging of my heart. Say, Frank, this is wrong. You needed to do it this way. They're all your daughters now. And he did, and it worked. We all have been hurt, cheated, lied to, mistreated, and rejected. We all have. So take courage and trust in God. He is Jehovah Himul, and He will recompense us. We can't give up. God will recompense. But we need to stop rebelling and disobeying Him. There's nothing we can do to pay back God the debt of our offenses against God. Jesus is our recompense, guys. There's nothing we can do to pay God back for all the bad things we've done. Nothing. Jesus did it. He's paid it in full. His death fulfilled our debt. Now we are free of our debt to God. So now we are free to release others from our debt to them. Amen? Does that make sense? Now we are free of our debt to God. So now we're free to release others from our debts to us. Now we can release people because He forgave us. He's released us of all the wicked things we've done. So now we can let people go too. That's how it works. Recompense. Payback. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For our sake He made Him to be no sin, who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. Revelation 12:2. I'm coming soon. I love that part. I'm coming soon. I'm coming soon. I will bring my reward with me to pay all people based on what they have done. So where's your heart this morning? Zeus, come on up wherever you're at. We're going to stop there. Where's your heart this morning? Are you running from something? Is your heart hard? Is it broken? The answer is Jesus Christ. He's the only way. And if you're doing okay, praise the Lord. But I know you know someone. I know you know someone that's going through something like this. What are you going to do about it? Show them love. Maybe it's someone that you live with. Show them love. Because God loves us. He forgave us. The debt's been paid. Amen? Let's stand up and pray.
Light of the world. You've been listening to a presentation of Remnants. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com. You